This is a story of Lord Vamanadeva. And Kashyap was approached to by his wife Aditi, who was upset because the demons had kicked her son of Indra out of heaven. So she wanted to help him get back, so she thought if she produced some great powerful son, he could defeat the demons and Indra get back his throne. So before instructing his wife in a particular vow that she could do for 12 days, he tried to give her some enlightenment, spiritual enlightenment, so she wouldn't be so affected by her son losing his post. But she was distressed over that and approaching the Lord for a material reason to remove her distress. Chatur Vida Bhajate Mam Jana Sukritin Arjuna Arto Artarthi Jignasur Gyani Chabartarshava. Four kinds of materialistic people approach the Lord. Devotees approach the Lord, real devotees, true devotees approach the Lord only for service. Aditi approached her husband Kasyab. She prayed to him. She says, "Please tell me a brat to worship God. He'll give me a benediction and fulfill my desires." So he said, "Previously I received this vow from Brata," Kashyap said. "And you do this during Shukla Paksha Falgun for 12 days. A whole elaborate bath. It's called the Payo Brata bath. Payo Brata, where you only drink milk once a day for 12 days and do very elaborate puja. Worship the deity. This Payobrat is also known as Sarva Yagya, which means all yagyas or sacrifices, because by performing the Payobrat perfectly, then the performance of all other sacrifices is automatically included. Therefore, Payobrat is Sarva Yagya, all the sacrifices. One whole in one. You do one, you get the benefit of all. The essence of all austerities is to worship Krishna. And that's the best process of giving in charity, to give to Krishna. It is the best of all regulative principles and the best method for pleasing at Hoksaja. He assured his wife that if you perform this brata, God will be pleased and satisfy all your desires. So she did so. Lord was pleased and Vishnu appeared in his forearm form to Aditi. She became ecstatic and offered so many prayers. So Vishnu replied, "Yes, I'm very pleased with you, and because of your husband Kashyap is a great devotee and servitor of mine as a progenitor, and I'm pleased with your austerities of Payobrat, I shall agree, I will become your son to protect your other demigod sons who have been conquered by the demons. But don't disclose this fact to everyone. It's very confidential." Somehow Lord Rama came to understand that Vishnu was in Aditi's womb. So he came to offer obeisances and prayers. And shortly thereafter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan Vamanadeva, he appeared from Aditi's womb and looked very beautiful. The Lord appeared on Shravan Dwadashi, an auspicious moment known as Abhijit Muhurta, 48-minute period that begins from about 11:40 and goes to about 12:30. This is a very good time to begin an auspicious activity if you don't know any other auspicious nakshatras or yogas or karanas or lagnas, etc. So when Lord Vamanadeva appeared, he was surrounded by all apsaras and gandharvas, manus, pitas. All the gods were dancing and singing and celebrating. Kashyap was saying jai jai. And then, because the Lord assumed this huge fish form, then he changed his form and he assumed the form of a dwarf Brahmin, brahmachari. like an actor changing his dress. Then the recipient sacrifice is performed. They performed his sacred thread ceremony. And Sridev uttered the Gayatri mantra. Priyaspati offered Vamanadeva sacred thread, Upavita. Kashyap gave him a belt made of kusha grass. Bhumidevi gave him a deer skin to wear. Chandradev gave him a Brahmadanda. And his mother Aditi gave him copians. Indra gave an umbrella. Brahma gave him a kamandalu. The Saptarishis offered him kusha grass. And Mother Saraswati gave Vamanadev a Rudrakshmala. Kuber, the treasured demigods, gave Vamanadev a begging pot. That's interesting irony. The one who has all the money, the Bill Gates of the demigods, Rockefeller, Citibank of the demigods, Kuber, he has all the gold and all the yakshas and yakshas who protect all the gold and transfer all the gold here and there. They're all his servants and devotees. Kuber is a fabulously wealthy and rich, opulent treasure of all the demigods. He's a Swiss bank for the demigods. He gave an empty begging bowl. Tell him, go beg something, but not from him. And then Lord Shiva, Parvati, threw the first coin in that begging bowl and gave him his first donation. Vamanadev heard that Bali Maharaj was performing another Ashwamedha Yajna under his Guru Sukracharya. So Vamanadev went there to show mercy to the king of the demons, who was actually a great devotee. When Vamanadev entered that arena of all the demons and Bali Maharaj and all his priests, his incredible jyoti just defeated the effulgence, natural effulgence of Bali Maharaj and all the Brahmins. And they thought it must be Sridev, the sun god himself, descending amongst them. So Vamanadev was quite a figure when he entered that arena, that Yajnashala. He is holding his Brahmadanda, his Brahmachari Danda, and a chata, an umbrella, and a kamandalu, water pot in his hands. He's like a little boy, Brahmin boy. He's wearing deerskin for clothing. And he had jata, matted locks of hair on his head. Bali Maharaj was very joyful to see the Lord, and he offered him an asan, washed his feet, put it on his head. And Bali addressed the Lord, "O son of a Brahmin, you have come here to ask me for something. Take whatever you desire, cow, gold, house, food, drink, the daughter of a Brahmana, elephants, whatever else you may want." Bhagavan Vamanadeva was satisfied with Bali's pleasing words, and he said, "Listen, you're a very advanced personality because you're guided by wise Brahmanas and you're under the care of your grandfather. Of course, your father is Virochan, but your grandfather is Prahlad Maharaj, who is a great devotee, and I know that you must be also a devotee and also charitably minded. No one in your illustrious dynasty has ever failed to fulfill his word after promising to give something." Of course, this is almost foreshadowing by Vamanadeva's part, but no one knew yet. "Your father, Virochan, was very affectionate to Brahmins. Even if demigods came to beg from him, of course, he's a demon, Rakshas, so he's a natural enemy of the demigods, but even if it was the demigods disguised themselves as Brahmins, still, he would give them even his very life if they requested it. O king of the demons, Bali, following your illustrious forefathers, I want to only ask a small bit of charity, only 3 steps of land, according to my childish feet. I know you can give so much, but I don't want to give more than what is required. We shouldn't take more than we need. Father Maharaj said, oh, you're speaking very wonderfully, but I think because you're young, you haven't developed your brain very much. You're not really thinking properly of your self-interest. So I can give you so much. I can give you one of the seven islands of Bhumandala, but you're only asking for a few steps of land. Oh, little boy. Anyone who comes to me and begs something, they should get so much that they never have to beg again. They should be satisfied. One shot begging. One shot does it all. And Vamanadeva replied, he says, listen, King, if a person's senses are uncontrolled, even if he gets everything in the three worlds, he won't be able to please himself. If I'm not satisfied with three steps of land, then what will I do with the whole island of Bhumandala? If I got that, I'd become greedy to get more. One should be satisfied with whatever one achieves as a result of his destiny, for discontent can never bring happiness. A person who is not self-controlled will never be happy, even if he gains possession over the three worlds. That verse is there in the 8th canto about Bhagavan Vamanadeva begs alms from Bali Maharaj. Chapter 19, verse 17. Vamanadeva said, hey Bali, nanyat te kamaye rajan padanyat jagadishvarat naina praptnoti vai vidvan yavarata pratigraha. O King Bali, you're very kind and generous. I know you can give me as much land as I want. I do not want anything from you that is unnecessary for me. If a learned Brahmana takes charity from others only according to his needs, he does not become entangled in sinful activities. Vidvan yavad artha pratigraha. A vidvan, a learned person, should only take charity, pratigraha, what he needs. These are the six activities of a Brahmana or Vipra. Yajan, yajan, patan, patan, dan, pratigraha. Pratigraha means accepting charity, and dan means to give charity, to distribute. Studying the shastras and teaching to others, performing yajnas and engaging others in yajnas. Prabhupada's purport is very wonderful. A Brahmana or a sannyasi is qualified to ask charity from others. But if he takes more than necessary, he is punishable. No one can use more of the Supreme Lord's property than necessary. By his request, Vamanadeva was indirectly indicating to Bali Maharaj that Bali Maharaj was occupying more land than he needed. In the material world, all distresses are due to extravagance. One acquires money extravagantly and also spends it extravagantly. Such activities are sinful. All property belongs to God, and all living beings who are sons of God have the right to use Krishna's property, but no one can take more than necessary. Bhagavan, we shouldn't understand that Bhagavan Vamanadeva needed some land from Bali, that he was a beggar with a begging bowl. Because Bhagavan Vamanadeva is God, he's Vishnu. He owns everything, he controls everything, Sarvalokamaheshwaram. All the planets, he's the proprietor of all the planets and all the 14 planetary systems. And all the unlimited spiritual planets, Ekpad Vibhuti, Tripad Vibhuti, Vishnu, Vamanadeva. But why did Vamanadeva approach Bali? Bhagavan Vamanadeva did not beg land from Bali for his personal welfare, but for the welfare of his devotees, the demigods and suras, who lost all their land, being occupied and usurped by the defeat at the hands of the powerful demon Bali. They lost all their properties and lands and planets. The point is that devotees sacrifice all personal interests in order to give satisfaction to Krishna. And similarly, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, although he has no personal interests of his own, he can do anything to satisfy his devotees. One who is full in himself has no personal interests. So one can be truly unselfish when he has no ulterior motive or no personal motivation. And Vamanadeva said, Sri Bhagavanu Vacha Yavanta Vishaya Prishtas Chilokya Majitendriyam Nashaknuvanti Te Sarve Pratipura Yitum Tripa. You know, King Bali, even if someone has every single object of sense enjoyment that's available and pleasing, Yavanto Vishaya Preshas, every single pleasing sense object, Triloka, within the three worlds, Bhur Bhuvaswa, even then he cannot satisfy his senses. If there's Ajita Indriyam, if a person is not self-controlled, this is the situation. We don't control our senses. We can have unlimited sense objects and still never be satisfied. Material existence causes discontent as one tries to fulfill his lust and greed, and thus repetition of birth and death continues. However, one who is satisfied with that which is obtained by destiny is fit for liberation from material existence. And Vamanadeva says a very appropriate verse, although this is spoken millions of years ago. This is Canto 8, Chapter 19, verse 26. Yadricha labha tushtasya tejo viprasya vardate tat prasham yat yashanto shad ambase vasu shukshani. A brahmana who is satisfied with things obtained by the grace of God, then his teja vipra vardate, vipra teja, the teja, the effulgence, the jyoti, the spiritual power of that brahman will vardate, increase his effulgence and spiritual power. Prashamyati, asantoshat. But if that Brahman is dissatisfied with what he gets by the mercy of God, then his spiritual potency will diminish as fire is diminished by throwing water on it. This is very common in Kali Yuga. No matter what the Brahmins receive in charity, they beg something, oh, please give some bakshish. So some humble, pious person, they give whatever they can, 10 rupees, 20 rupees, 100 rupees. And they give sincerely. But the Brahmins never see that. They never care. Oh, why is this? Why only 10 rupees? Who should give 50? And someone a little bit more cultured, apparently richer, he gives 100. Why are you giving 100? You should give 500. What is this? Only 500. Only 100. Extremely dissatisfied. Consequently, they have no spiritual power, no Brahman Tejas. No Brahman Tejas, no spiritual power, no effulgence, no jyoti, no influence. They're just dragging on, begging money. Kali Yuga is such. Sukracharya was there, of course, because he was conducting the yajna with his Jajaman Bali when Vamanadeva just dropped in one day and had this discussion. And he could understand what was going on. So he revealed everything to Vamanadeva, his his Jajaman, his disciple, says, listen, this Vamanadeva has come here as a son of Aditi and Kashyap to benefit the demigods and defeat you and take over your kingdom, and you lose everything. And this, he's so powerful that just in a couple of steps he'll take everything. Then your promise to give him 3 paces of land will be unfulfilled. And then because you don't keep your promise and commit that sin, you'll go to hell. I think it's best that you refuse the brahmachari's request for charity. Although such a refusal involves telling a lie, it will protect you. Now, Shukracharya, he was a representative of the Smarta Brahmins who were interested in getting money from their disciples. He wasn't too he was more concerned what would happen to himself if Bali lost everything to Vishnu Vamanadeva. So that's the difference between a Smarta Vaishnava, Smarta Brahmin and a Vaishnava. Smart always wants material benefit, material progress, and the Vaishnava always wants the satisfaction of God. So Bali was contemplating disobeying his spiritual master. Although he thought it was wrong, but then he thought, actually, my guru is also acting wrongly. Because he's supposed to teach me to surrender to Vishnu. And now Vishnu is standing before me and he's telling me to reject him. Because he's deviating from his proper teaching and actions as a guru, I think I should rather satisfy God standing before me and suffer the possible uprat of guru avagya, disregarding and disrespecting my guru. And he's thinking all these things in his mind. Bali Maharaj is thinking, there is no more greater sinful person than a liar. And Mother Earth, even Mother Bhumi once said, she can carry the weight of heavy mountains, cities, people, millions of oceans, but she can't bear the weight of a liar. So I don't care if by this deed of neglecting my guru, I go to hell, or suffer poverty or distress, or lose my position as the king, or even if I die. But I fear more cheating a Brahmin whom I promised to give charity to. Anyway, whatever I have in my possession, I'm going to lose it sooner or later. By time or death, eventually I'll have to give up everything I possess. So why not now, at this moment, try to satisfy God standing before me? Historically, there have been many great personalities like Shibi and Didichi, and great other personalities who sacrificed their lives, their very lives, for the benefit of others. So why shouldn't I be ready to give up some land? So why did Bali Maharaj get so much mercy that he was having direct darshan of Vishnu in Indraloka? And Shukadeva Goswami says it's because Bali Maharaj is a descendant in the illustrious dynasty of Prahlad Maharaj. And it's said in the Shastras that 21 generations of the ancestor of a pure devotee. Sometimes it says 14, 21, 100. Different numbers are there. But so many generations, past and present, of a pure devotee's dynasty will become liberated and devotees of the Lord. So Bali Maharaj is only the 3rd descendant. Prahlad's son was Virochan. Virochan's son was Bali. So the Bhakti Bijam was actually coming down from his grandfather. So the result of all that Sukriti and all that devotion is he got Sakshat Darshan of Vishnu. So this is the mercy of his grandfather, because you can attain perfection by sadhana, by kripa, and by, that's about it, by sadhana, by kripa. So he was a kripa siddha. By the mercy of his pure devotee grandfather, Bali Maharaj became so illuminated and so detached and so Krishna conscious. He said, I'll give this little dwarf Brahmana whatever he asks from me. Vamanadeva directly asked Bali for the 3 worlds. It was just to enjoy a little humor, a little hasya ras with his devotee. So he covered himself as a dwarf brahmana. He disguised like a disguise to see if Bali Maharaj could see, catch him and see through the disguise that his worshipful Lord Vishnu was underneath it all. It's a humorous exchange between the devotee Bali Maharaj, Atmanavedanam, who surrendered everything to the Lord. He's famous for Atmanavedanam, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam Archanam, Mandanam, Dasyam Sakyam Atmanavedanam. Atmanavedanam Bali gave everything to the Lord. Mantan Dan Krishna Samarpan. So being inspired, the Sima, the super soul, it says it, he inspired Shukracharya to curse Bali Maharaj. Listen, Bali, although you have no real knowledge, you think you're so learned that you're disobeying my order impudently. So very soon you will lose all your opulence. On the other hand, the demigods are very happy with this simple act of Bali Maharaj, and they were praising him, showering flowers, sounding drums. So Vamanadeva started taking his steps of land. He increased his size to gigantic proportions until everything in the universe was inside of Vamanadeva's body. Everything is within the Lord and everything is outside of the Lord, and he's also outside of everything. Bali Maharaj and everyone gathered there in that yajna could see the Virata Roop of Vishnu containing all the gross and subtle material elements and all the living entities and planetary systems. So that was the first step. It's quite amazing. And the second step, he covered all the heavenly planets all the way up to Satyaloka. There's nowhere to put his third step. So while he was stretching up his first step, his toenails poked through the covering of the universe, and some drops of the Karna Samudra, the causal ocean, leaked through. And that became the Ganga. Ganga is considered to be a combination of two waters, the Karna Samudra and the water from the Kamandalu of Brahma. When Brahma saw this beautiful lotus foot going past Satyaloka and piercing the coverings of the universe beyond his planet, Satyaloka, then he used his Kamandalu water pot and did an Abhishek, Vamanadeva Charan Abhishek. So that water dripping off the Abhishek of Vamanadeva's lotus feet from Brahma and the Karna Samudra combined, the Abhishek, the Charanamrita and the Karna Samudra combined to become Ganga. Gange, 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 Ma Ganga Ki Jai. So after taking these two steps and covering everything, Vamanadeva assumed his original form, dwarf Brahmana form. And all the demigods and Brahman, everyone came there to that assembly to worship Vamanadeva. Such an amazing feat. The demons were all assembled there for that yogi with Sukracharya and Bali. They understood, hey, this is not a Brahmana, this is that Chitra Vishnu. He's working on behalf of the demigods, trying to take away all of our domain and insult our King Bali. So they took out all their weapons to kill Vamanadeva. And Bali tried to stop them, but they rushed at Lord Vamanadeva. Then all the Vishnu Dutas, they just laughed and easily defeated all these foolish demons. Nanda Sunanda, Jai Vijay and Garuda, they polished off the demons in no time. And Bali Maharaj, when he saw the soldiers being killed by the Vishnu Dutas, then he remembered Sukracharya's curse that he was going to lose everything. So he told the demons, don't stop fighting the Lord. Then understanding the inner desire of Lord Vishnu, Garuda tied up Bali with the snake ropes of Varuna. And everyone was lamenting in all directions that Bali was tied up like a captive crow from a hunter. But still, Bali didn't give up his determination to please Lord Vishnu. He was not disturbed that he lost everything he owned. And then Vishnu, Vamanadev, told Bali, "O king of the demons, you promised me 3 steps. I covered the whole universe of 2. I have nowhere to put the 3rd one. So you haven't given me a place to put my 3rd foot, according to your promise. So now you must go live in the subterranean planets." So Balimraj, he didn't want to be undone for not upholding his promise. He said, please, I don't want my promise to go in vain or to be accused of a false promise. Please put your footstep on my head. I don't care what happens to me. You can send me to hell or whatever you want, but I don't want to not fulfill your desire. I'm not ashamed or aggrieved that you've arrested me in such an ignoble way and tying me up with these snakes. What is the use of this material body anyway? Because we have to give it up automatically at death. What are the use of family members who are actually plunderers who take one's money, which could be used for serving Vishnu? What is the use of anything in this world, home, community, country, that just wastes one's time and energy? My good fortune is I lost all my opulence, and you forcibly giving me your shelter. Suddenly, Prahlad Maharaj appeared on the scene. He's very tall and elegant, beautiful. He's a grandfather, so Balimraj couldn't properly worship him or offer obeisances, but he simply bowed his head humbly. Prahlad spoke, "Oh, Vamanadev, it was you actually who gave Bali the kingdom he had in the first place. Now you've taken it back. You've done a great favor by taking away all his material opulence. Material opulence is so bewildering, even a very learned, self-controlled man gives up the idea of self-realization." And then Brahma, everyone was approaching Vamanadeva, asking some mercy from him for her husband, because he's all tied up. So Brahma also joined the bandwagon and pleaded on behalf of showing mercy to Bali. "So listen, you punished him enough. Bali gave you everything he had, even his own body, so I think you should now release him from these snake ropes. So why should he have to suffer like this?" So everybody was feeling sympathetic towards Bali Maharaj, even the great devotees like Prahlad and Brahma. Simbamana said, "Yes, Brahma, because of material opulence, a person acts practically like a crazy man. They don't care for anyone. He even defies the authority of God. So sometimes it shows special mercy to such fools. I take away all his possessions. If a person is high-born, performs wonderful activities, is beautiful and youthful, and educated and wealthy, but not proud of his opulence, he has been actually more favored by me. He is a learned man because he truly understands that all these material assets are attained only by the mercy of God, and thus he wants to engage them fully in the service of the Lord. Generally, to have all these advantages of beauty, wealth, power, position, material opulence are impediments to practicing bhakti, because one becomes falsely proud. But a pure devotee of the Lord is never disturbed by such opulences." Vamanadeva continued, "Balimraj has become the most exalted among the demons, because although he's undergone so much misery, he has passed my test and remained fixed in devotion. Although he's lost everything, he remains steady in a vow of truth. Because of his great tolerance, I decided to give him a place, even a superior place of residence than the demigods. I'm going to give him a whole planet, Sutala Loka, subterranean inhabiting planet. And after staying there for so many years, he himself will become Indra and be the Lord of the universe. And Bali, listen, when you go to Sutala, you don't have to worry about any conquerors, because my Sudarshan Chakra will always be there to protect you and kill any aggressors toward your kingdom. Always remain as your doorman and protect you. Prahlad Maharaj was amazed at the divine mercy bestowed upon his grandson, so he addressed Vamanadev in an ecstatic voice. Oh, Vamanadev, you're so kind. Great personalities enjoy their perfection simply by tasting the nectar of lovingly serving your lotus feet. What about us? We're all rogues and rascals born in demoniac families. How will you receive your mercy? It must be because your mercy is causeless. Ahoituki Kripa. Vamanadeva replied to his devotee Prahlad, Bhakta Prahlad. Please go with your grandson, Bali, and live happily in Sutala for some time. You'll be able to see me there in my forearm form. You'll be so blissful and always see me there that you'll be no longer bound to the samsara. Then Vamanadeva addressed Shukracharya. Oh, Shukracharya, can you describe the fault of your disciple? Why you cursed him? And Shukracharya said, actually, my lord, if one satisfies you fully, there's no fault in his activities. Even if there are discrepancies in pronouncing the mantras of a yajna or some of the vidhi nishedhas about kaladeshan patra and dravya, if someone chants your holy name, everything becomes faultless. Vamanadeva then delivered to his brother Indra all the land that Bali Maharaj had seized from the demigods, which he had recovered with his three steps. To satisfy Kashyap and his wife, Aditi, all the demigods and sages headed by Brahma accepted Vamanadev, who is called Upendra, the younger brother of Indra, as the protector of the Vedas, the supreme master of everything, for the welfare of everyone within the three worlds. So Sukadev summarizes, under the protection of Lord Vamanadev, Indra became reinstated in his original position as the king of heaven and regained his rule over the three worlds. And Aditi was happy that her son Indra had regained his lost kingdom, and Kashyapa was happy, and everyone was a happy ending. So demigods glorified Vamanadev and Aditi and went back to their abodes. And thus ends a wonderful story of Leela Bhagavan Vamanadev. Now this, we want to repeat this verse in Sanskrit, so it's because it's such an important glorification of Nam Sankirtan. Given at the end of this Vamana Leela, which concludes with chapter 23 of the 8th canto, when Vamanadev said, what is the fault in your disciple for giving charity to Vishnu? And then Shukracharya said, there's no fault. Everything is dedicated to you. The next verse, this is verse 16, chapter 23. Shukracharya replied to Vamanadev, Mantratas tantratas chidram desha kalar havastuta savam karoti nishchidram anu sankirtanam tava. Anu sankirtanam, sankirtanam, sankirtanam. Anu sankirtanam. Constantly chanting the holy name. Shukracharya said, O Vamanadev, during the course of a yajna or puja or homa, there may be discrepancies in pronouncing the mantras. The Vedic mantras may be pronounced improperly. And observing the regulative principles, mantra and tantra, there may be insufficient knowledge in the tantras, the regulative principles. Mantra, tantras, chidram, Chidra means discrepancies. And there may be discrepancies according to desh, kala, desh, matter, the country, kala, time, arha, recipient, vastu, paraphernalia. There may be discrepancies or chidram in the place, the time, and the articles used in the yajna. For example, they generally use buffalo ghee, which is unacceptable, not permitted, because they can't get pure cow's ghee. So this is a dravya dosh or vastu dosh or vastu chidram, discrepancy in the vastu or the articles of the yajna. So Shukracharya is saying that there may be faults in the place or time, wrong timing, a wrong direction, a wrong place, a wrong objects, paraphernalia. But sarvam karoti nishchidram. All these karoti, all of these things are made faultless, without any discrepancy, by the constant chanting of your name. When your name, Vamanadeva, the holy name of Vishnu, is chanted, then everything becomes faultless and auspicious. So Mahaprabhu, of course, is recommended in Kali Yuga, forget all these yagyas and pujas and shanti homas and satyanarayan pujas and yagyas. Haranam, 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 eva kevalam. Kalo anasteva, 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 gatiranyata. Mahaprabhu said, oh listen, residents of Kali, in this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. And Kali Yuga is extremely difficult to perform Vedic ritualistic ceremonies or homas or yagyas, sacrifices perfectly. There's hardly any Brahmin in India that can chant the Vedic mantras with perfect pronunciation or accumulate the correct paraphernalia or Vedic performances. Therefore, the only sacrifice recommended in this age of Kali is Sankirtan, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Jagya Sankirtana Priyar Yajantihi Sumedasaha Medasaha. Bhagavatam 11.5.29. Srila Prabhupada, from his own experience, he quotes in the purport what he's seen during different Kumbh Mela assemblies and other places as he's grown up in India. Seen so many Kumbh Melas and Hardwar Melas and Prayag and Hardwar and huge gatherings of sadhus and elaborate arrangements for pujas and yajnas. Prabhupada says, in his own words, in 8.23.16 purport, I have seen that many religious leaders are addicted to performing yajnas, huge sacrifices, yajnas, and spending hundreds and thousands of rupees for imperfect sacrificial performances. The lesson that Shukracharya is giving here is a lesson for all those who unnecessarily execute such imperfect sacrifices. We should take the advice of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 8th canto, Shastra Praman, and take the advice of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that chanting Hare Krishna is the only way. Shukracharya was a strict Smarta Brahmin, addicted to ritualistic activities of the Vedas. But yet he also admitted millions of years ago, Nishchidram anusant kirtanam tava. My Lord, constant chanting of your holy name makes everything perfect. In Kali Yuga, the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, yajnas, homas, pujas, cannot be performed as perfectly as before. Therefore, in his Sandarbhas, Sri Jiva Goswami recommends that although we may take care to follow all the yamas and niyamas and nishetas and vidhi-nishetas and all the principles and every kind of spiritual activity, especially in worship with a deity, according to all the proper rules and regulations. Still, because of Kali Yuga, there is a great chance for discrepancy, mistake, or fault or aparad. Someone should compensate for this by always chanting the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, in our Krishna conscious movement, we therefore give special stress to the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra in all activities, with all activities, by all activities, for all activities. Our only activity in all our activities are Nam Sankirtan. So that concludes Bhagavad Leela number 47. The story of Leela Bhagavan, Vamanadeva Bali Maharaj Leela.